Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free.
I just read something in the paper, well, actually in the Populist Press, that was from Bloomberg, that said for the two decades, Chinese tech firms have flocked to the United States stock market, drawn by a friendly regulatory environment and vast pool of capital eager to invest in one of the world's fastest growing economies. Of course, that is what the whole draw of working and sending goods and services to China is because they have the largest economy in the world. Well, guess what? Now the juggernaut is behind hundreds of companies worth $2 trillion, and it appears to be stopped in its track. Beijing just announced on July 10th that almost all of the businesses that are trying to go public in another country will require approval from a newly empowered cybersecurity regulator, which amounts to a death knell for Chinese initial public offerings in the United States, according to longtime industry watchers. I don't believe that we, the people, have any idea of what the horrors and atrocities that the Chinese Communist Party has inflicted upon their own citizens and that they intend to bring to the United States. While we're worrying about stupid things like race, which has absolutely no bearing on anything because that is the one thing you are born into. Nobody can change your color of your skin. It doesn't matter how much you bleach it. It doesn't make any difference. Just like everything else, if you were born a Black person, you will be black-skinned. If you were born to a white family and you have those genes, that's what determines it. That's the way biology works. And there's nothing that we can do to change it. But of course, while we're focused on that stupidity and nonsense, the Chinese communist message, methodology, and people have infiltrated the United States with the one goal of bringing America underneath their communist rule. I don't think we have any idea what that really means. And so I have invited an expert. And Mr. Yukon Zhao is a nationally recognized Asian American community leader. He is the co-founder and president of the Asian American Coalition for Education. And he was also a congressional candidate for Florida. Isn't that amazing? Mr. Zhao, thank you so much for joining me today. And your insight as to what is really behind this Chinese method and message, which I feel just has a new name and it's in America under the same program. What is your experience?
Thank you for having me, Karen. I think your introduction are well said. And currently there's increasing tension between the China and the US. Chinese government already set up the objective to take over as number one power in the world. So I think the recent move is one step. Unfortunately, the country leader, Xi Jinping, changed the policy of former leader Deng Xiaoping. Deng Xiaoping wanted to be friend with America, but the country leader tried to do a different way, which is a confrontation.
So originally, when we started all of this, we had a friendly, wonderful relationship with the Chinese people. And unfortunately, we, the Americans, allowed Stalin to come in to China at the end of World War II and infiltrate and I guess work with and train Mao to bring communism and devastation to the Chinese people. But China had an incredibly successful and rich past. Do you see similarities in communist China as to what is going on in America? But I believe they were doing the same things that they're doing there. They shut down people speaking. They toppled rich, beautiful statues and tore up the history, the magnificent history of China. This is what they do, isn't it?
Yes, actually, it was happening. Also made me very sad is, you know, about 50 years ago, my family, my father was politically persecuted during Chinese Cultural Revolution. He lost freedom. He was tortured. And for 5 years, caused a lot of devastating, you know, a consequence to my family. I have family lost, but I, you know, endured that kind of hardship. But unfortunately today, the radical left is just using the same playbook, you know, trying to, you know, emulate what Chinese Cultural Revolution, Chinese, the communist class struggle theory. So that is what happening, that, you know, motivate me to come out to fight against critical race theory, which in essence is like a rev two of communist class struggle theory.
So in America, we are using race, or they are using race to divide the people. And in China, they used class warfare to divide the people. It didn't matter really what they used because their purpose was to divide the people. Did that happen in China? Were the people divided against each other, where they would speak negative, you know, if someone was speaking negatively about the government, would they be turned in? Is that the way it worked in China?
That is what happened. You know, in China, before China's reform under dictator Chairman Mao, as he launched nationwide class struggle movement, which is guided by communist class, you know, struggle theory, right? He divided people as the oppressor, which means anybody like a landlord and like, you know, capitalist, anybody has, you know, who wealthy been labeled as the oppressor, and the rest being labeled as the, like, oppressed. So he launched the internal, that kind of warfare. And then for the landlord, for the like so-called oppressors, they not only themselves, they suffered the torture. Between 2 and 4 million landlords were killed during Chinese Revolution, innocent, right? They were very innocent, most are innocent, they were killed. And even their children's, because they were labeled as a class enemy. They have no right to go to college, no right to get a promotion, no right to become a manager. So they become a permanent underclass of China. So that was a very devastating, you know, impact. Like my grandparents were labeled as like a bankrupt landlord. And what happening was they were forced to relocate from the capital city of Yunnan province, Kunming, to a very poor village during the Chinese Cultural Revolution. After a few months after that, my grandma suffered a heart attack, and then she passed away just because there was the medical treatment available in that very poor village. So, and so many people either been tortured, been murdered, you know, so that is kind of consequences if we don't stop this kind of divisive critical race theory.
I couldn't agree more, and I am beginning to see more and more signs of what's going on in China coming to America. Before we go any further, you started two organizations here when you came to America. Why did you do that? Why was it so important to you?
Yeah, initially around 2014, I found out the radical left using the race-based affirmative action to discriminate against Asian, also against white Americans. Asian was discriminated the most. So I formed an organization called Asian American Coalition for Education. So we fought courageously against Harvard University, Yale University, and many selective colleges in the nation. I think we're not only fight for Asian Americans' constitutional rights, we also fight for the Americans' future, because equal opportunity and also meritocracy is one of our founding principles. Without that, America will be like, will go to decline, because we really need the best and the most talented, you know, be able to get a best education to defend our country. Recently, example, the hiker from the Russian, right? They were able to disable our pipeline, you know? So we need the brightest person to be educated and to fight against that kind of national threat. But unfortunately, the radical left use racial quota, use racial discrimination to prevent the most talented children go to the America's top university. So that is my first organization. You know, just last year, I formed another organization called Patriotic Legal Immigrants, include many immigrants from Cuba, from Honduras, from Haiti, other either communist or authoritarian nations, simply because we live through that kind of very bad nations, and we really cherish the American founding principle. We cherish American institution. So I co-founded this organization to defend America's founding principle. That is the reason I founded the two organizations.
I want to explain one thing. When I was a teacher, I had mixed classes. And I remember having a conversation with, I had several Asian students. The majority were Black, but the Asian students always stood out, because when I spoke with their parents, education was a prime objective of the family. They believed that their children, in order to get ahead, must have a total education. And when I was speaking to the mom and dad, they would tell me that the first thing that their child does when they come home is go do their homework, do their lessons, and then repeat back to the parents exactly what they have learned in school. And they have a conversation about school. Now, when I spoke to an African-American parent, they did not pay attention to education, and they left the education part up to the child. Did you do your homework? Yes. Did they do their homework? Nobody knows. Did the parents look at it? No. What happens in a situation like that? And this could happen with any, it has nothing to do with race. It has to do with the way the child is being brought up. If the child is being brought up that education is important, then throughout their life, education will be important. If the child is brought up that education is secondary, then as the child gets older, education will be secondary. It has nothing to do with the color of your skin. It has to do with the way you were brought up and the way you are learning. And when the family focuses on education, the children succeed and become rock stars. When the family does not focus on education, the children do not succeed. And now what is happening is that problem is being flipped around and saying, oh no, it's the process that's racist, and that's what's making the children succeed or not succeed. No, it's not. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with their family guidance and experience. And I know that the Asian community places a very high regard on education. Isn't that true, Mr. Zhao?
Yes, you are exactly right. I think that is one fundamental flaw of so-called critical race theory. They blame, current underperformance of the Black and Hispanic community to a so-called systemic racism. Actually, Asian Americans' performance really rebounded that kind of lie, because Asian Americans, like Chinese Americans, used to be discriminated in 1882, the Chinese Exclusion Act, right? And also Japanese internment. We suffer a lot of discrimination, but today, Asian Americans are regarded as highest income, best educated racial group. If this society is predominantly so-called white supremacy or white privilege, if all the laws are leaning towards white, why Asians, not white, become the highest income, best educated, right? So Asian success really prove, America is a land of opportunity. Anybody, if you have good life skill, and you have good culture, good practice, you can succeed. Also, I want to say, many Black, like LeBron James, like Michael Jordan, like Oprah Winfrey, already become billionaire. This country already elected Obama twice as a president. So to claim America has widespread systemic racism is totally a lie.
I could not agree more. And let me go back to my class, because I also had white students. And I discovered that the white students whose parents said education is a priority, those students were extremely successful. The white students whose parents did not place a priority on education didn't make any difference. They didn't pay attention and they were uneducated and did not have the opportunity that the others had. Again, it had nothing to do with race. While they are pushing us to be focused on race, what they are doing is cutting deals behind our back and infiltrating all of our agencies and schools with this communism, and it comes straight out of communist China. Have you found the Confucius Institute?
Yes, I think there are maybe a couple in Florida, and there were maybe 20 or some, in America. I think most of them already being closed.
Yes. Now, why would they be closed? They focused on the communist part.
Unfortunately, as a matter of fact, Confucius is the greatest, is China's really pride, right? His teaching, a lot of secular teaching, was great. The Confucius Institute does not teach really Confucian value. For example, Confucian value advocate treat people nicely, advocate emphasize education. But I think, unfortunately, the Confucian Institute in America, they were sponsored by the Chinese Communist Party to really spread, their agenda. So that's the reason, they're being closed, one by one in America.
Is there a lot of misinformation and disinformation that comes out from these universities as they talk about America? Are they talking about American values, American concepts, or are they focusing on Chinese communism?
Unfortunately, we have too many Marxists in our colleges, right? An example. We don't have enough, professors to study, to really teach our children how bad the communism is, right? Communism already caused hundreds of millions atrocity worldwide, but we don't have a lot of professors study teach that. you know. So, but yeah. instead, they study and teach a lot of, unfortunately, all in American history, example, some, you know, in our dark days, Black being unfairly treated, right? I think they disproportionately, you know, blow out a lot of social injustice in our history. But the worst on that is they even, you know, claim today there's a systematic racism in this country. This is totally untrue because our 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution already guarantees equal protection law. The 1964 Civil Rights Act already banned any institution receiving the federal funding to have any discrimination on the basis of the race or ethnicity. So there's no like systematic discrimination against Black and Hispanic, but there is one against the Asian and white, which is race-based affirmative action. That is the only one we need to eliminate.
You are so right, because this is what will tear our country apart. And if we go back into the Chinese history or even the communist history, because it was not just Chinese, communism did not start in China. Communism started in Russia. And when the Russians realized that they needed more territory, so to speak, more people, because as Margaret Thatcher said, in order for communism to work, you need lots and lots of capital. And I believe that that was why the Chinese realized that in order for them to be able to support their underclass, which they now forced people to stop working and rely on the government as they took them out of their homes where they were successful, as they took them off their farms where they were successful and forced them to live in these horrific conditions as almost as wards of the state. Well, as that was going on, the Russians said, we need more money. So they infiltrated China. And that was how Mao got started on communism. He got started when Stalin, after World War II, came into China. In order for communism to be successful, it wasn't today where we will cancel you and we'll take you off of social media if you are talking against the communist regime. No, at that time, what Mao did was he killed the people. You spoke against ill about communism, off with your head. And millions upon millions of people were exterminated due to the fact that Mao wanted total control of China. Isn't that what communism really is? Total control of everyone's life by a few people?
That was unfortunately true. And, you know, basically, you know, in 1958, Mao launched the anti-rightist, like that kind of movement. Any intellectual who courageously speak, spoke out against Mao or criticize his policy, been tortured or sent to the concentration camp. That was the end of 1958. After he eliminated the oppression, dissidents, right? He launched the disastrous policy one by one. The great leap forward in late 1950s starved more than 30 million Chinese people to death. Also, he adopted like a planned economy, eliminated private ownership, also plus all year round class struggle. You know, basically people, Chinese people fighting one group against other, then did not concentrate on economic development. So that ruined the whole country. When I was young, you know, the China was as poor as like North Korea or Venezuela today. Urban citizens, where everything was rationed. Each month, like we only get 1 or 2 pounds of meat for the whole month. You know, so that kind of poverty, rice, clothing, everything was rationed. And we have to wait in the queue for 2 or 4 hours in order to buy some meat. That kind of situation is the consequence of that kind of, you know, repressive, that kind of regime. Right now, the radical left trying to do the same thing. They want to use the cancel culture, use the political correctness to silence the opposition. That is very dangerous. Without the healthy democracy, without freedom of speech, this country will go down the toilet, just like China did, you know, Mao did to China, you know, about 50 years.
And this is what we have to be aware of, and we can see it happening all around us. I read an article the other day, and they were talking about inflation and why it's going to go away anytime soon. It's not going to go away anytime soon. They're blaming inflation on supply and demand, and that's only one small piece of it. The other is the elimination of our energy sector. And the minute you take oil and gas and you raise the price on oil and gas because you are eliminating an inexpensive source, such as American oil and gas, and as we are now forced to buy oil and gas from communist countries, our enemies, what do you think is going to happen to the prices of goods and services as everything, and I do mean everything underlined in red three times, depends on oil and gas?
I want to add one more point on that.
Oh,
basically,
please.
It's very similar to communist China. When the government take away people's motivation to produce, to work, and then their productivity drops. That is exactly happening today when Joe Biden gives and radical left gives so much stimulus check, and they also undue subsidy for people stay home, not working. So that's not enough people produce, you know, the products. So the price will going up. That is exactly what happening. Also, one more point, you know, I want to mention how dangerous is the class struggle theory, the critical race theory to America. You know, after Chairman Mao, using the class struggle theory, indoctrinate Chinese people. You know, in China at that time, all the primary schools, middle school, high school, all teaching class struggle theory. Just 20 years later, China were trained millions of Red Guards, radical revolutionaries. They destroy our culture. They torture people, torture the intellectual, torture officials during Cultural Revolution, and tens of thousands of people being tortured to death, you know? So that kind of things is very dangerous. If we allow critical race theory be taught nationwide, that we'll see this kind of tragedy happen in America.
Well, it is my hope that this will be the one thing that will bring Americans together, as everyone now, America is on the chopping block, and we have to make that decision. Are we going to allow a communist takeover of our country, or are we going to fight back? And fortunately, we have wonderful citizens like you, Mr. Tsao. We really appreciate everything that you are doing to bring this information forward so that Americans, many who have never seen a war, have no understanding of what inflation is, and have no idea what they are facing. Thank you for bringing this information to us, because without it, our past is unknown, and therefore we will be dabbling in the exact same atrocities that has destroyed China. And we hope that Americans come together, Americans understand, Americans fight back, continue to go to your school boards, continue to hound your legislators, and continue to make a lot of noise when you see something, say something. Don't report on your neighbors, but it's really a good thing to pick up the uh, to sit down and type a little article and send it to your newspaper. You don't have to name names, just tell people what's going on. And you will be shocked to see how many people there are on our side who want to preserve America, who realize America as the land of opportunity for everyone is the most important country in the world, and we will not let it fall. Thank you very much, Mr. Zhao, for joining me today. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your input. And hopefully, please tell everyone where they can find you and your organization so that people can get involved.
Thank you for having me. We will continue fighting to defend America's value and also founding principle. Our website is pliusa.org, Patriotic Legal Immigrants USA, pliusa.org.
Thank you, and thank you so much for the work that you're doing. We appreciate it. Well, everyone, don't touch that dial. It's only a little break, and I will be right back. You're listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health four times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutloud.com is the alternative from the agenda-driven globalist. Here, we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Well, now we know what's going on with China and how they have infiltrated everything that we're doing. But what are the results of that? That's what we seem to not be talking about. And I've asked a good friend, Autry Pruitt, who is a unique Black conservative American. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We keep on saying, yes, there's more of us than there are of the communists, but nobody seems to listen. I believe there are. There's more of us Americans who want to come together and end this stupidity on race baiting, because all that's doing is trying to divide and put the American people down. And that's not American, and it's not America. So I have asked Autry to join me today, and we will be talking about what we can do. What are the results that he is seeing? You've been traveling all over the country, Autry. What are the results of this race baiting that you are seeing?
The results of race baiting has basically fueled a permanent distrust between individuals that don't even know one another. Yes. So it's not even about a Black person that works with white people and distrusts them. And it's about two people that literally judge each other by melanin in their skin and say, because your skin is light, or I don't trust you. That's been the result of it. And it's permeated all the way down to the elementary school level.
This is horrific, folks. And these are the things that we have to be aware of and we have to fight against. Because as Mr. Zhang said, we're not going to get any place by being quiet. we've got to bring this to the forefront. They are actually destroying American culture. And a large part of American culture is the Black culture. And they're destroying that as well. It doesn't seem to make a difference to them what statues they're taking down. It doesn't seem to make a difference to them that America fought a war. If you're not going to go in and talk about race the way that it should be spoken about, which is, yes, it is an atrocity. It was, slavery was an atrocity, but it wasn't just America that was involved in slavery. This was a worldwide thing. But when you separate something and pull it apart and make it into a racial issue, you're dark skin, therefore I must not trust you. Is that what's happening, Autry?
I think it's not just trust, right? So you said, okay, you're dark skin, I don't trust you. It's worse than that. It's them saying what's going on now is it's not that I just don't trust you. It's that I believe you are actively engaged in an effort to destroy me. So right now with the race argument, what you're having is a group of people. If it was just mistrust, it'd be one thing, right? So if I said I have dark skin, you have light skin, and I mistrust you, guess what? I'm just staying away from you. I'm not trying to fight you. I want to do my own thing over here in the corner. That would be, although that's still, to me, repugnant, it's tolerable. We're in a situation now where they're not saying I actively mistrust you. They're saying you're actively trying to destroy me. Now, when you get into that, that's a setup for a war. If somebody is actively trying to destroy you, destroy your family, take your wealth, take your property, now you've set up the parameters for a war, and that's what's happening. Yes. So we have a situation where the left has come about and said, or trying to convince people, hey, whites are actively trying to destroy you. And so then you can't be surprised when you have young individuals, either through BLM or through some other or other outfit, when they take to the streets and they say, oh, you trying to destroy me? Well, we're going to destroy you first. And then they attack the cops. They hit a white lady. They hit because it's everybody. Everybody's in that conspiracy. So it's actually much, much worse than what it used to be. The old argument for the left was you can't trust them. They're white, blah, blah, blah. Well, under that auspices, you could still be an American. You could still go and do what you want to do and have property rights, etc. But now what they've changed the game to say, all the laws we pass, any executive orders we do, any systems we've set up in the country, economically or otherwise, are actually all working in concert to destroy you and your family. And that sets up, like I said earlier, the parameters for war.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That is a lot worse than we could even possibly imagine, because we are looking at it, as Autry said, okay, you don't want to be my friend, or I'll go and work with other people. You're looking at it from a total different viewpoint than looking at someone and saying, you're trying to destroy me. When you come up with you're trying to destroy me as your answer, you're right. The alternative is going to wind up being confrontation, because there's no out. If the person thinks that you are actively trying to destroy you, well, I'm going to try to destroy the person first before they get to me. And it's what our government has set up, hasn't it?
Yes. And also, it's going to be, I don't want to say it, it's also in play in terms of certain individuals not making a great decision. So let me give an example. So we've had recently a rash of things come about where you particularly have young Black men who do something crazy with police officers. Now, they either run for them, they try to take their guns, they fight back, etc. Now, if you tell a group of people, in this case, you're telling young Black men, the media is the legacy media, large swaths of the Democrat Party, etc., are telling these young Black men, and by the way, when I say media, I'm not talking CNN and MSNBC. I mean, this stuff is permeated into Insta, into TikTok, into just consumable entertainment, right? So if you tell a group of young Black men, whenever you encounter a police officer, by the way, it doesn't matter if they're Black or white, but particularly a white police officer, whenever you encounter them, they are trying to kill you. Not not figuratively, not emotionally, they are trying to take your life. So then you're in a car, young black man's in a car, and the car's flying down the road. And let's say there is a warrant for his arrest. And let's say he does have a little bit of a troubled past. The old way was, hey, listen, cop stops you. You may mouth off a little bit, but you let him arrest you. And we'll deal with it later. We'll figure it out in the system. We'll call Al Sharpton. We'll call whomever. And we'll get some protests together. And we'll figure it out in the system. That was sort of the old way of doing that. And by far and large, you had a lot of cases that could have gone really wrong, not go wrong. But once you elevate that conversation to say, this cop is going to try to kill you no matter what, then even if the black person gets pulled over, they're in their mind, they have a bifurcated choice. Either A, they know they're going to die because the police officer is going to kill them. The police officer is going to arrest them, put handcuffs on them, take them somewhere and blow their brains out. Or there's a 50-50 chance they're going to die if they fight back and they run. So now what's happened is rather than a fan of Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson by any means, but under the old system, you got arrested. You got the attorneys, you got the civil rights people, and they came down to the jail, they did whatever, they accused the cops of racism, they protested, they marched, et cetera. They put pressure on the system. Now you have a situation, there's a new system, where they're being told, listen, you're going to die anyway. And so the men have a choice in their mind. I die 100% with the police officer, or I take a chance and fight back, and there's maybe a 50-50, even if there's only a 30% chance, I'll get away. There's still a 30% chance. So there's certain death if I let the police officer take me, or maybe I might be able to escape. So now you set that up. And then notice this, Karen. Now the next step is, but the race attorney class, right? Al Sharpton, et cetera, Cromwell, they come in regardless. So this is why you can justify, even if you're looking at something called critical race theory, and Karen and I have an organization called Safe Florida Schools, right? We're concentrating on pushing back against the garbage in the Florida school systems through the election of proper people on the school board. But the same mindset applies to that. If you believe that the system and that the children and that the people are tenderly oppressed and no matter what, they cannot succeed, then you will do any radical thing, even illogical, including teaching hate to try to curb that, okay? Let me give you a great example. During World War I, it happens, Germany's left destroyed. Adolf Hitler was a part of that war. He comes to realize, now rather or not he believed it, I'm not sure, but I think he believed it. I don't think it was nefarious in terms of his belief. What he did was horrible, but I think he actually believed it. He believed that there was this external force that no matter what had conspired the German people and this being Jews and other people to kill folks, to destroy them. And so his whole base coming to power and teaching was to push back against what he thought was an onslaught of forces. In other words, you create a straw man, right? And then it flips the script later and develops into a supremacy situation. If you have a situation where you're being told and convinced through legacy media that the entire system is against you, then you can't be surprised when some parents are willing to adopt and say, well, we're going to reject everything that system brings. We're going to drink the notion of hard work. We're going to reject you as a teacher. We're going to say you're racist. We're going to say you shouldn't have property rights because you've been told that this entire philosophical framework was designed to destroy you. And in fact, the 1619 Project, once you read it, I admit I haven't read everything, but I admit that what I have read is real clear. That's what the 1619 Project argues, that the entire setup, when you look at what the Declaration was arguing, the Constitution, private property rights, all of that stuff exists to perpetuate slavery. Although slavery has ended, it perpetuates Jim Crow, and although Jim Crow has ended, it perpetuates Black poverty, Black underachievement. And
Autry, how do they recognize Blacks or minorities that have become affluent in using the same system? How do they rationalize that?
So there's three or four things. So they would argue, the first thing that they'll argue was that in every subset, even if you go back to Roman, go back to Rome, go back to ancient Egypt and the Hebrew people, there's always a class of individuals who end up rising up because they're willing to work out. So you either sell out or you work in the system. That's number one. Number two, they argue that it's not broad-based. In other words, the fact that, you know, 88% of Black folks live in poverty is the proof, and they're just exceptions to the rule, right?
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying it's logical. I'm just talking about the argument.
Yeah, no. Right. It's their argument. It's never logical.
And then third, they argue, all things being equal, the lighter-skinned person has an advantage or, quote, privilege over the over someone who is a brown face. And all things being equal, the only reason that you are allowed to achieve certain sectors is because you benefit the power structure that be. So they would argue, like, someone like LeBron James, a billionaire, et cetera, et cetera. Well, he really benefits the white owners. Not really himself.
So he's not really working to achieve for himself. He's working as a slave for somebody else, even though he's making billions of dollars.
He believes he's working to achieve for himself, and our system has fooled him into doing that. But that's what they would argue. I mean, this makes absolutely no sense at all. And that's the crux of the argument. I think one of the mistakes they made in the Black community, and why you're starting to see even Black Democrats push back against this, is honestly, it was the Oprah Winfrey and Meghan Markle mistake. To me, when I look at Black Twitter, when I look at Instagram, when I look at Black media, World Star Hip Hop, that was sort of the mistake. When Oprah sort of led with it a little bit, but Oprah and Meghan Markle really leaned into it. And it was at that point that Black Democrats started to say, wait a second, Oprah's a female billionaire talking to now a member of the British aristocracy, who's also worth a few hundred million dollars, who, by the way, was independently wealthy when she got married. It just did not compute.
No, does not compute. So Autry, I'm white, you're Black, we're having a conversation, we're friends, we know each other, you don't think I'm oppressing you, I don't think you are being oppressed, and we are going on with our lives. What do people do when they want to get together to have a conversation? Because what this is doing is shutting down the lines of conversation. You can't have a conversation.
I'm gonna tell you the way I believe you combat this on an individual level. And it's a slow process, not a long process. So when I was, I'm a Christian. I attended Christian schools. I'm also a minister. I've been preaching since I was 13 years old. I definitely, you know, I like girls and I have girls and, you know, kissing a girl or anything, you know, but we had a philosophy back then as kids, we called the everything but, right? So you went up to the line, you did a lot with the girl you're with, may not have always been Christian, but you did everything but what you're supposed to do. So that's the philosophy I adopt. You want to talk between races, you do everything but politics, right? So the really way to do it, now you and I met in, because we're both actively in a political situation, but the way you really engage is by engaging right now at a human level with everything but politics. Getting to know the community, getting to know people in the community, getting to know someone who's Black, because starting off, particularly if you're starting off with someone who doesn't have a philosophical mind aligned to you, it's not like it was in the 1990s. In the 1990s, we all thought of ourselves as Americans. Now that's not the case. So the real way to start is just to start off, you know, talking about family, talking about, I was going to say sports, but that's harder now, talking about everything but politics and getting to know a person. Eventually those political conversations will come up and let the other person bring those political conversations up. But this is a conversation. The problem is this: unless you're talking to another person that's engaged in politics, this is a conversation that happens over time. And you got to be around the community for it to happen over time. So another problem is, I think the church is a great example. The church is the most segregated place there is. And part of the problem is that we feel like we don't know each other because there's no fellowship with each other. Now, the church is the place where this could start, because the presumption is that we all are one in Christ. Now, if you're a true believer, then you can start, and I say it's up to Christians to do this, you can start in the church with that notion of love. And even if you get into political conversations and you're both believers, then what I have taken a tact is saying, you know, I say, listen, we're about to disagree, but we're brothers in Christ, right? We love each other. You love me, I love you, this is a neighbor. All right, so let's start that as the basis and then roll into the conversation. Now, if you're talking with a person who's not a believer, if there's two people that are unbelievers, you can start with humanity. If there's a person who's a believer, let's say you're a believer and the Democrat's not a believer, right? You're gonna have a hard time having that conversation, because the basis from which you come is gonna be a faith basis, right? That's one issue that we have, is that you had at one point 90% of Americans, rather or not they adopted a particular Protestant, Presbyterian, or Lutheran, they had a belief in God and had a belief, and then the other 10% had a belief in God, just wasn't a Christian God. So everybody believed in a God, in a higher power. That created a basis to say, okay, we answer to someone else. Now we're almost in a reversal state. Now, fortunately, most Black Americans still believe in a God.
Yes, and that's a hard one for the communists to get over.
And they're trying to change that, because that's what's happening now. Because once you adopt a Christian line, like people say, well, how did you avoid this kind of thinking, Autry? I avoided my thinking because I avoided my thinking or thinking like things because of Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Right.
So for me, there wasn't pigmentation, couldn't set a limit on it.
Well, wouldn't you think also, Autry, that school is a kind of a vanilla thing that people can talk about together? And that's why I constantly say, go to school board meetings, because you will meet people who are like-minded, forget about the color of their skin, because they're like-minded in trying to get their kids educated. And that's a wonderful way to start a conversation, wouldn't you think?
Yes, yes. And I've talked about that. In fact, I think I gave a speech on that. I've talked about that. I've talked about that. If you engage in not the politics of education,
right?
The function of education.
Function of education.
There's a very big difference between the two.
And
the function of education. And what you'll find is two parents that care.
And then race doesn't really, it's not relevant, because you're talking about your children. It doesn't matter what color they are. These are our children. And it is for that reason that Autry and I started a group called Save Florida Schools. And we're looking for people who are interested in running for office. Please get in touch with me. Go to website, saveFloridaSchools.com. Get in touch with Autry or myself. And if you are interested in running for school board, please get in contact with us, because we will help you. Nothing is more important than our children. And Autry, tell them about the new Journey Pack as well.
All right, so New Journey originally started as a pack, or now a C4 with a pack attached to it. New Journey's goal is to move Black voters from the blue column to the red column. And we do that through a step process I won't get into, but it's a long process. But basically, we do that with a more systematic way of what I've talked about here today, engaging the community, being aware in the community, sharing with the community our hearts, and then going for a political message to try to move votes.
And that is exactly what you have to do. As Autry said, you've got to get engaged in the conversation first and get the person to realize where you're coming from and that what your goal is, and to know you so that they will recognize the fact that you don't want to destroy them. This is not about destroying them. This is about America and building America and keeping America strong. And New Journey Pack is a fabulous way for people to get there, to understand, and to join with a group of like-minded people. So, Autry, in our last couple of minutes, what can you tell the folks about how we can all come together?
Well, I think what I would say, for those of you with children, what you said, education is a way to come together. But I think the biggest way is to see each other as humans first, not as a political entity. And also to bypass the most extreme. By that, let me be real simple, real clear. When I say that, I mean, if you encounter the absolute radical, arguing with them is pointless. Move on. Right. It's when you encounter someone who says, okay, you know what, I disagree with you. I think there is a big race problem in the country, and I'm willing to talk to you about it, then that's different. If they're willing to engage and talk with you, not at you, not shout at you, that could be different. That leaves an opening. You're not going to convince them on the spot. It's about sharing. That's how I look at it. It's about me sharing, you sharing your thoughts with me. And hopefully what you've done is you've laid a seed. Most Black people I know who end up on the right side, they didn't start on the right side. They said, you know, I had a conversation with somebody one day and they were really nice. And it just got me thinking a little bit. And I begin to watch and I begin to listen. And then I picked up some sources myself. You know, there's a movie that Larry Elder just did, a documentary a couple years ago. I forget what it's called. Uncle Tom. And the story just repeats itself. You know, I encountered somebody and I talked with them. And it opened my mind a little bit. And I just begin to think. And it was a process that brought them there. I mean, you're not going to change somebody who's been thinking the same way for even 25 years. You're not going to change them most of the time in one fell swoop overnight. It's good to take time.
Yes, and you are so right. And unfortunately, we are at the end of the show. However, I will bring Autry back. And please go to newjourneypack.com and savefloridaschools.com. Put in your email. Get involved, because that's what America is. America is a participation country. We, the people, are to participate in our government. And we're not going to do it if we stay home and don't go to any meetings and don't get involved. It's up to us. We are the ones that can make the difference. And so thank you all for listening. This is Karen Schoen. You have been listening to The Prism of America's Education and my guest, Autry Pruitt. Please go to goflca.com. That is the Florida Citizens Alliance. We are beginning to get involved in our legislative process and would love your input. See you again next week, everyone. Have a wonderful week. Thank you, Autry. But I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on me. I'm America, yes, America is.